Well, good morning and welcome to Victory Baptist Church. It's good to be together. Good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And we're looking forward to a good time together, and also greetings to those who are joining us online this morning. It's good to have you joining us in the service here today. Let's take our Bibles this morning for a scripture reading. As we continue in the book of Revelation, we're going to read on this last letter to the churches, Revelation chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse 14. Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. And let's stand together for the reading of God's word, and let's read in unison. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke, and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. This seventh letter to the churches. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the blessing of your Spirit at work in our lives. Thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for those who trust you, for those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Lord, we thank you for this, and we ask for your working in our service today. As your word is open, Lord, teach us. I pray that you'd illuminate our understanding, that you would say through me what you desire. Lord, I yield myself to you. A vessel that requires your filling. And I pray that you would work. Heavenly Father, we think of our nation as well at this time. Our fellow man, our fellow citizens of this United States of America. Lord, we come with thankful hearts for the foundation on which our forefathers planted this land. Thank you for the Constitution. Thank you for the God-fearing men and women who stood for the right in their time. Lord, again, in this day, in our generation, I pray that you would continue to raise up men and women who would stand for the right. Lord, I pray that lies would be exposed across our land. Lord, there's so much strife. There's so much hate. Lord, I know that this is not of you. Lord, we know that sin and selfishness brings this type of hate, and we know that the enemy is at work to destroy. Lord, I pray that we as your people, those across this land who know the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would shine as a light, that we would stand, that the gospel would continue to go forward, that Jesus would be continued to be raised as the banner of hope. For Christ is our only hope, Lord. You are the help for our nation. You are the help for our souls. We trust you. We trust our lives into your hands, and we lift up our leaders as you have instructed us. We pray for the president. We pray that you'd give him wisdom, that you would renew him, his strength, that you would help him to listen and follow wise counsel, and through the challenges that he deals with. Lord, we pray for the vice president, and that you'd encourage him, and that you'd help him with his responsibilities to carry them out faithfully. And we pray for the senators and the congressmen and women, Lord, that you would help them to recognize the solemn duty they have, not just to the American people, but to you, Almighty God. And that with fear and trembling they would do right. And Lord, we pray that for the judicial branch, for judges and courts even in our state and on the national level, the federal courts. And Father, we pray that you would help them with a humility before you, that they would interpret the law and apply it to people that stand before them. We pray for wisdom for and protection for our police officers in our cities and our communities, that you would help them and in the very challenging time in which we live and the challenging circumstances of which they're often called into, that you'd give them courage and help them to handle their responsibilities aright. For medical staff, doctors and nurses and others in the medical community, that you would continue to renew strength for many who are working longer hours and in more adverse conditions. Lord, we pray for your strength for them as well. We do ask for you to help us to see the opportunities you've given us to spread the hope and love of Christ. Bless the preaching of your word now. We look to you to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, last week we had the letter to Philadelphia. The letter to Philadelphia. The church that was given great opportunity by the Lord. What a special letter that was. And so praise the Lord for that. The opportunities. In so many ways, you and I have been given opportunities such as Philadelphia had. In the last 200 years, even, though the church wasn't necessarily strong and rich and wealthy in that sense of human strength, but with a love for the Lord, we have advanced the gospel in the last 200 years in amazing ways, and that is really a representation of the Philadelphia church that took the Great Commission seriously and with sound doctrine went out to preach and teach all nations. And praise God for those great faithful ones. Now, obviously, in every period of history, in every time, there are all these churches represented, okay? So, but as we come to this last letter, we come to the letter to the Laodiceans. This is not just the last letter, but it really is the predominant type of church in the close of the church age. I believe that. I believe that the typical church today around the world is the Laodicean type of church. And Not every church, obviously. There's, like I say, all these churches are present, are represented in every generation. But the typical church here, the Laodicean church, this is a prosperous church, wealthy, but unaware of its spiritual poverty. A prosperous church, but unaware of its spiritual poverty. Consider the definition of Laodicea. Laodicea, the idea here is the rites or rule of the people. The rites or rule of the people. The city here lay where three routes intersected, about 40 miles southeast of Philadelphia. Commerce flowed along these routes, making Laodicea, the city itself, a prosperous city and a prominent city. In fact, in 1 Timothy, if you'll flip over to 1 Timothy quickly, you'll notice in the very last chapter and the very last verse, a footnote there, 1 Timothy 6, shares a little information about the writing of 1 Timothy. Of course, the Apostle Paul penned 1 Timothy to Timothy. But in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, verse 21, in fact, right at the end of the verse, there's that footnote information. And it says, the first to Timothy, the first epistle here, the first letter to Timothy, was written from Laodicea, which is the chiefest city of Phrygia Pancosia. And so we can see, though, that this letter was written from Laodicea, and it calls it here the chiefest city of this region. And so Laodicea was a prominent city. Now, just while we're here in Timothy, just for a moment, let's take some time to consider. Okay, this is where Paul is writing this letter. Now, this is about AD 62, AD 63, when 1 Timothy is written. So this is 33 years or more before the letter to the Laodiceans was written in Revelation 3. So here, 33 years earlier, consider some of the things that Paul wrote to Timothy about. Notice chapter 6, verse 20 and 21. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Verse 17, we'll back up. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Backing up more, go to verse 6. Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And then verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Chapter 4, verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, verse 13, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So consider this, these words. And then one more verse, chapter 1, verse 19. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Now consider that. Paul wrote that from Laodicea. I just find that a little bit interesting that that's the case as we dive now into Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. The letter begins here, unto the angel, or the pastor, literally the messenger, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And so we have Jesus here once again introducing himself with some different features, with some different emphases. And he says about himself, he says, this letter is written from the Amen, the one who says it's good. You know, Amen means and let it be. And I'll tell you what, when Jesus speaks, he is the let it be. You know, the creation account, the literal creation account that Jesus, that the Lord gave us in his word, God spoke, and it was so. You can read that again and again through through Genesis, through the creation week. God said, and it was done. God spoke, and it was so. You know what? When Jesus speaks, it is so. He is the Amen. I'll tell you what, every promise of His will never default. He'll never go back on. He is faithful. They are true. They are yes in Him. They are Amen. Notice also it says here in verse 14 that He is the faithful and true witness. The faithful and true witness. You can trust the Lord Jesus. Of course, this is back in chapter 1 also. He's described with these same similar words that He is faithful. He is the one we can trust. He is the one who has given accurate testimony about all things of which He's spoken. He is faithful. We can trust Him. And so as Jesus writes to this well-to-do church, to this church that has a lot of human reasoning, He says, actually, I'm the faithful one. I'm the one who's given accurate testimony about how things really are. And so we can see the faithfulness of the Lord here. Notice also the last part of verse 14. He is the beginning of the creation of God. We know that Jesus is credited with being the creator of the world. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Also, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. This is speaking of Jesus. He is the Creator. He is the one who has the authority to define doctrine. He's the one who has the authority to define what marriage is or what sexuality is or you name it. He's the one who's the authority. He's the Creator. Remember, He comes with that. Now we come to this church and the Lord says, I know thy works. And you know, this church has, let's say it this way, the Lord Jesus has nothing good to say about this church. Think of that. Can you believe that? The Lord Jesus has nothing good to say about the church at Laodicea. Wow. Wow. This Laodicean church as well as Sardis had this in common. Sardis, if you'll remember, was the dead church that looked alive. The dead church that looked alive, many of its members were unsaved. These two churches had a lot in common. No commendation, only rebuke, and then admonition. But notice the rebuke here. He says in verse 15, I know thy works. Now, if we stop there, we might say that was a positive thing, but he goes on in the same sentence to explain that it's really not. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Wow. The lukewarm church that makes the Lord Jesus nauseated. This body, this congregation of professing Christians, some saved, some no doubt in a lost state still. But you know what? They nauseate the Lord Jesus. The one who gave His life for them, they